What is it about this writing style that's so slippery that I just can't get? It's like a TikTok feed. I can't get out of it, you know? And so I would say it's like more like a door where you kind of got to go knock and take a leap of faith that there is something on the other side of this. You can't see exactly what you're going to get until the door opens.
All right, we're live. Cool sweatshirt. What's going on?
Oh, dude, I already told you. I can't talk about it on air, but I am, you know, there's some days where there's a fire on the third floor and you got to grab the extinguisher and go put it out. And so that's what I've been doing today is putting out. And I'm glad that I did this, which is we had a bunch of family coming in town for Thanksgiving. Wife was like, oh, yeah, it's great. We got my sister coming. We got this person coming. This person's coming from India. I was like, oh, God. Okay. She's like, you know, we should host Thanksgiving. I said, you know, I love the giving spirit. I love the idea. But we're not hosting anything on Thanksgiving. Why? Because we have an e-commerce company and Black Friday is the biggest sales day of the year. And she said, well, what are we going to do? Like, you know, it's just going to sell online. Like, we're not going to go to the warehouse or something and go fulfill it. You know, so what do we need to do? I said, sometimes you got to create space because you just want to be available. You want to have buffer. You don't want to be fully booked in case you need to do it. Maybe you have an idea that something you can do to drive sales. Or in this case, what if shit absolutely hit the fan and you had to do something to recover, which is exactly what happened today. I created space. My COO was like, oh, I'm just going to go pick this person up from the airport that day. It should be no problem. Guess what? She's in the car. The shit's hitting the fan and she can't get to a computer and she did not create enough space. And so that was a great lesson.
That's an evolution for you because you are not the man at creating space.
I was not a space creator. That's come with, you know, some gray hairs and wisdom is this idea. So I'm glad I did it because shit's hitting the fan today. And, you know, I'm just hoping that I told you before this, I'm hoping that, you know, my safety, my savings, my under the mattress savings of good luck needs to be cashed in today. I'm reaching under the mattress. I'm hoping it's still there. I feel like I put it there. I'm hoping that good luck is still there. I need it today.
Well, okay. So I've got, we're going to talk about products and media that we like, but, and I have a couple, I got one thing in particular that's going to make a difference on your day today, actually.
Okay.
We can talk about it later, but so today's episode is we're going to talk about products and media that we've consumed throughout the year that we think are cool. Because I like talking about gadgets and media, and so do you. The stuff that you talked about last episode was actually quite amazing. That article about data and how it's easy to read data incorrectly.
Yeah, just kind of like a great find. Is that the idea?
Great finds.
These are
exactly.
Great finds we've had this year, whether it's a product or it's a piece of content. Great finds. I think that's in the Thanksgiving spirit. It's like, you know, being thankful for it. But also, people have time. Hopefully people are creating a little space, you know, you spend some family time and, but people have time over the holidays and this is a good chance to either buy this as a gift for yourself or somebody else, or to just check something out that you haven't tried before.
All right, well, let's start. Do you, you name one and I'll name one, or I can name a couple. What do you want to do?
Okay, let's do, I think we both have an app that we really like,
All right.
Two different apps. So let's do the category of apps. So what's a great find you had that's an app this year?
Okay. Unfortunately, a lot of things I might name are going to involve fitness. A lot of them are going to be money related.
Fitness influencer life, bro.
Yeah. Like, a lot of them will be money related, though, actually, and relaxation and mindset. So the first one, Zero. It's called Zero. I believe Kevin Rose started it. Okay. So I never thought that I was intermittent fasting, but in order just not to overeat throughout the day, I just wouldn't eat breakfast. Turns out that's called intermittent fast. But that's not why I did it. This app called Zero, it's free. They have a paid version, which honestly, I don't think it does anything, but the free version, you say when you had your last meal and it just tells you don't eat until, and then you, in my case, it's 16 hours. It's awesome. I love it. I can't believe how that one app actually makes me want to stick to it as opposed to when I'm on my own. So that app has made a meaningful change
and
in my
what
day.
What are you fasting? You're doing 16-8 or you're doing more intense than that?
I do 16-8. So 16-8, basically so? I'll stop eating at 8 PM and I'll eat again at noon.
Right. So that means 16 hours not eating, 8 hours eating. And when you eat in your 8 hours, are you like, you know, eating kale salads or you eat whatever you want in those 8 hours?
I don't eat whatever I want. I usually eat meat and vegetables. That's what I work hard to eat.
Do you
meat
portion size or no portion sizing within that 8 hours? You're fine. You just eat till you're full.
Yeah, I portion control. Yeah, definitely. I eat very, yeah, for sure. I try to eat 2,500 calories a day.
Good, good.
All right, a quick message from our sponsor, which is, of course, HubSpot. Now, look, growing a business is tough, and it's tough because a lot of times you have to duct tape a ton of software together to make it work. I've been there, and it's a pain in the butt. You have this thing connecting to that thing, and the two things that are being connected, one of them breaks, or the thing connecting them doesn't work, and it's a mess. You have all these moving parts, and it's just a pain in the butt because you don't know where the single source of truth is. And that's where HubSpot's customer platform comes into play. Finally, you've got this single source of truth where everything is organized and tracked in one place. For example, if you have customers emailing you, they've got really easy ways to see who on your team is replying to which customer, what they're saying, and things like that. And you can track it all in one place. They also have a lot of AI supported stuff, which means that you can automatically know which type of messaging you need to send to that type of customer. And yes, it sounds natural, like a real person. I actually use it. I use it with my company, Hampton, and it works wonderfully. And when leads come in, you know which channel they came through, you know who's going to follow up with them, and it's all seamless and easy. So if you're interested, it's simple. Go to HubSpot.com and check it out and see how you can use it to grow your business.
All right. So I have anything else on Xero? I think that's a good one.
No,
I've tried the app as well. I like it. It's a super clean interface. It's like I like apps that just do one thing really well, and that's what that does. Okay. Here's an app. I think I've talked about this, but I got big into breathwork. And so there's two apps that if you want to have kind of like a happier life, there's a lot of apps that will distract you. Instagram, TikTok, whatever. There's apps that will make you more productive, but they'll distract you from the real world. That's like email, Slack, maybe Twitter. And then there's apps that actually center you and ground you. And so my phone had enough of the distraction apps. I had enough of the productivity apps. Where I was lacking was, hey, how can I use this magic wand? That's how I think of my phone. It's a magic wand. I install an app and that's like a spell that I just could do some magic thing. I can get food to appear at my doorstep, or I can, you know, summon a car, or I can do all kinds of different crazy stuff. I can put my, you know, my mom thousands of miles away, her face can show up on my phone. Well, this one gets me grounded. And so there's two apps I want to call out. One, I think we've talked about before, it's called the 5-Minute Journal. I ended up meeting the guy who made this app.
I didn't know that was an app. I thought it was a notebook.
There is a notebook, and then there's the app. The app's, I think, more
popular.
Oh, that's
cool.
It's a paid app. I think it's $3 or $5 or something like that, which is so funny because when I saw that, I was like, oh, I don't pay for apps. And I was like, wow, like my threshold for paying for shit on a phone is so low compared to like, you know, like
right.
It's a parking meter, but I get to use this app forever that some guy created and coded and makes it do all these things. So $5. And what it does is you open it up and it basically just has like a quote while it loads. It's always a good quote. They have good selection. And then it basically says, what are three things you're grateful for today? And the act of writing those down is great.
This looks great.
You know, not to get super cheesy, but basically the more grateful you are, the less stressed you are. You cannot be grateful and stressed at the same time. You cannot be grateful and afraid at the same time. You cannot be grateful and angry at the same time. So if you just want to not be any of those bad things, just focus on being grateful rather than not being whatever. It's like when you tell somebody relax when they're really pissed off, guess what? They don't really relax very well. So telling somebody to not be angry or not be stressed doesn't work, but getting somebody to shift their focus to being grateful works actually really well.
What questions does it ask?
Just says, what three things happened today that you're grateful for? And it's today, it's things that happened today, not like, what are three things in your life that you're grateful for? And you just sort of monotonously, you say, my health, my family, and my friends. It's like, no, what happened today that I'm grateful for? What's a moment of today? And then it forces you to slow down time because you're like, shit, what did I even eat for lunch today? What did I do today? And then you're like, you think of one thing and you're like, God, there must have been something more than that I'm grateful for. And you kind of suck at it the first day and you suck at it the second day. By the third day, something happens during the day and you're like, ah, I'm going to write this in the app tonight. Like that's the thing. And so it forces you during the day to actually take note of what you're grateful for, which makes you a more grateful person. All right.
So one app. Let me just tell you something really quick. So Andrew Huberman, one of the things on my list, Andrew Huberman recently had a new video come out called The Science of Gratitude and How to Build a Gratitude Practice. Mm-hmm. Andrew Huberman was on our podcast. He's got this amazing pod and YouTube channel where he talks about the science behind different things and how you can use it to help you. And his latest thing is on gratitude. And he says that he's been doing gratitude, and I don't want to get into the science, but basically there's something about like the prefrontal cortex and how gratitude actually releases dopamine, and it's proven to make you more motivated and happy. And he said, a lot of people, including him, did exactly what you did. And he goes, I think that works, but we have loads of studies that show that the actually slightly more effective way is to do one of two things. And I believe those, it is, you try, so the most effective thing is that you read or you remember, you read something that someone has written to you. And right. So someone's expressing gratitude to you. Of course, that's not entirely practical, right? And so there's a few things that you can do. The first thing is that you can think of a story when someone was helpful to you. And yep. if you focus hard enough, it actually feels real.
Yep.
And the second thing that I do, me and my wife, is every couple of days, we have a set time that we sit down and we say, here's what I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you did this. And then the second thing that you can do is you can actually think of a story in which
my wife just do the opposite. We just say everything we hate about each other every 2 days. And then
that sounds good.
Then we get it off our chest. She loves, she's really good at the game. I'm getting better. It's a good thing.
It's called the Hateful Eight. Just 8 minutes of just like hating on each other. The second thing that you could do is you can think of a story of someone being helpful to another person. And they put these guys, I believe, in a MRI, and they scan their brain and they watched a movie or a story about Holocaust survivors being helped and surviving. And it like changed something in their brain. Right. And it was proven to make them more motivated and happier. By
the
way,
why is that the most convincing thing ever? Everything that they're like, they did an fMRI study. They scan people while they watch this. The brain lights up like a Christmas tree. It's like the most, like, that's the most, I'm just going to make that up whenever I want to be more convincing with my thing. I'm like, yeah, people who buy my power writing course, we've done brain scans. It shows that actually there, you know how there's a part of your brain you can't access? With this course, you actually access it. The scans, they speak for themselves.
I did a transcendental meditation thing, and it's like a style of meditation. And they like, I went to the seminar, and they're like, it's proven with brain scans to be different than mindfulness. And I was like, really? I mean, like they're kind of the same thing. You're being quiet and just like I don't understand how. But anyway, that's what they said. Fair so anyway, go ahead. But, your second thing.
Well, one more on that gratefulness thing. There's one other technique that it's less convenient, but when you do it, it's awesome. It's called flooding. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
All right. Flooding is when you create a flood of memories of great moments in your life. The easiest way to do it is you open up a photo album and you flip through it. Or you go through your camera roll. So if like me and my wife, we get together, we'll have our camera roll open and we'll just be showing each other photos from, you know, 3 years ago. Remember that trip? Remember that day? Remember this thing we did? Laughing about it, what happened that day? And just if you just do that for even 10 minutes, you just revisit those photos. I'm not a big photo guy. I actually hate taking photos in the moment. I find it to be just incredibly like off-putting. And my wife's like the opposite. She loves taking photos of everything. But I got to admit, this flooding shit is amazing. It works. I literally love her more after we do it because I remember all these amazing times I've had with her and I don't have to try. I just like look at the photo and it's there. It's better than my imagination.
So that's what you're going to have to do today in order to get over your heartache, your money loss.
I know. We'll have to figure it out.
One more app.
So the other app is called Othership. So this just came out. I invested in this thing because I'm a believer in it. I struggled with meditation. Meditation was very hard for me. So even though I was friends with the founders of Calm and they gave me a free account or whatever, never really used it. Couldn't get myself to enjoy doing it. And I'm the type where if I don't enjoy it, it's just very hard for me to stick with anything I don't enjoy. I don't have enough willpower, don't want enough willpower. I don't know what it is, but I'm not great at it. So I wanted the benefits of meditation, but I didn't enjoy doing it. Breathwork has become like a revelation to me. It's a form of meditation. It's very similar, but focusing on breath at a guided breathwork session. So I've tried Wim Hof, loved it. Wim Hof has a great app too. It's a free app. And Othership is like a souped up version of Wim Hof. And this guy, Robbie, created it. He's amazing at it. He guides a lot of the meditations himself. He built his own like home oasis in his, he was like really early at Ethereum. He was the first marketing guy at the Ethereum Foundation when it was like whatever, you know, 60 cents or some shit.
So he's just like mega rich.
So he got like, you know, even with barely putting any money in, he got like kind of loaded. And then he sold some of it and was like, okay, I'm going to turn like half of my, I'm going to make this huge like kind of cabin out the garage type thing, like a mega garage. He turned it into like this like 20 person sauna plus cold plunge plus like amazing meditation room plus greenhouse and all this other shit.
You went to it?
No, he's invited me. It's in Canada. I haven't gone yet, but It's dude, amazing. He hosts a lot of people there. He invited us, actually. So you're welcome to go anytime. And they do like guided whatever, like microdosing LSD if you want to do that or whatever.
No.
You can do anything in this place. Long story short, he got really into breath work along this journey. And now this is what he does. He's like, I created this app. I'm gonna bring breath work to the masses. And I do it every morning. And it's amazing. So that's my Othership is the name of the app.
All right. I dig that. All right. I'll tell you one. All right. So there's this subreddit that I go to and I love it. It's called Fat Fire. And the idea is people who want to retire relatively young with a lot of money so they can live a fat life without working. And there's this guy. And so basically, if you post on there a lot, the mods, the community leaders of the subreddit, will verify your net worth to make sure you're not full of shit.
By the way, did you have a goal like this? Like, I want to retire by X age, or I want to be like,
yeah,
this wealthy by this age. What was your, like, how did you phrase your goal?
I wanted to have $20 million by age 30.
Gotcha. All right.
That's what I wanted. That was my goal. I created that goal when I was in my, when I was like 19 or 20 years old.
I mean, I can't confirm or deny, but, you know, mission accomplished is what I would say.
I sold my company. I achieved it at 31. I sold my company at 31.
Right.
And so that was my goal, because I asked a rich person who I knew. I asked him, how much money do you spend a month? And they told me $60,000 a month. And at the time I was like, I don't know. Like, I can't imagine there's a right. world
that
where
sounds
I would,
absurd. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, that just sounds crazy, but whatever. Like, I asked like eight people and this person had the highest number. And I was like, okay, I'll just do that because I'll be conservative. And then if you withdraw only 3% of your 20 million, that gives you like $600,000 a year to spend there. That's that number.
That's so what I just FIRE philosophy and FIRE stands for financially independent, retire early. So that's
yes. So you can philosophy. you can spend a percentage of your liquid portfolio, and right. basically it continues to grow.
Have enough money that the earnings, the sort of compounding earnings on the money being invested in something safe like the stock market, S&P 500 type of thing, can cover your burn rate. So there's two things that matter. What is the amount that I have invested in, and what is my life burn rate? That's why a lot of people who like FIRE, they go move to like, you know, bumfuck, you know, middle of nowhere, and they're like, oh yeah, I got rid of my car and it's great. Now I can, you know, I got rid of everything I own, and me and my wife, we only eat apple cores, and now we are retired. It's like, but Fat FIRE is different. Fat FIRE is like, nah, I kind of want to ball out. I'm not trying to like skimp on my lifestyle. So, okay, what do I need to achieve and what do I need to optimize while still not giving up like what I find to be enjoyable in terms of lifestyle?
Yeah, so that's how I made up that number. And I spend $15,000 a month. So I don't spend right. even close to that.
By the way,
but
I saw this thing yesterday, which is somebody was saying, they posted like my company, here's what my company's revenues were for the, I think his name's Chris Cantino. It was like, company's revenues for the first 7 years. And it was like, you know, 0,000, 20,000, 50,000, 150,000, 350,000, 7 million, 21 million or something like that, right? I'm making it up, but it was some slow build and then suddenly things really take off. And I think they sold their company. It was a soap company, I think, for $100 million. I think I have that right. Is that correct? You know this guy?
No, I know who you're talking about, though. He tweets great stuff. You said his name right.
Yeah. So, okay. So he tweeted that, and it got me thinking. I was like, it's true. A lot of success, I would say the common, you know, when success comes through the front door, this is how it arrives. Slowly and then suddenly.
When it rains, it pours, for sure.
And when it rains, it pours. And I started thinking, okay, is that true in my life? And I started writing down, I wrote down how much money I made from the age 20 to the age 31, because I also got wealthy basically at 31. And it was like, you know, $0,000, then negative $30,000 with that first startup. Then I got a job and the job paid me $120,000. I thought I was doing great. That was 120, 120, 120. And then went to 160 and then it like stayed there for a bit. And then I totaled it and I said, wow, at age 31, I made more than the previous 11 years before that combined. And I was like, you know, and this is my advice to young people always is, if you're going to take a non-traditional path like entrepreneurship or betting on yourself rather than a corporate career track, you should be increasing, you know, every 2 years by a certain fixed percent and you're great. That's your lifestyle. If you take the non-traditional path, you go try to be a content creator, entrepreneur or something else. It's going to be this slowly then suddenly path. And don't, if you're 22, don't count your earnings at 22 or 23 or 24. You're going to, check the scoreboard at age 30 was my motto, my advice to people.
Or regardless of 30 or not, after like 8 or 9 years.
You give it a decade. And you need to is total it up. In 10 years, how did I do versus counting every year? Because you're going to lose, win big. And that's often the path. So I was curious for you, if you did that, is your path similar? Or if you charted it out for 20s to 30s? I don't know if you want to share the exact or whatever. But
yeah, I can share some. I mean, when I sold, I had saved a... like seven figures. Of course, that includes my wife and I, and she also worked at Airbnb. And so Airbnb went public, and she had worked there for a long time. Airbnb went public in December. I sold my company in February. So it was like December 1st and then like February 1st was like that. Those 2 or 3 months was like massive.
Right.
And so, but so, prior so to
ignore
that,
ignore that. Take her out because we don't want to put her business out there. So let's just talk about you. Your early 20s, what were you making?
So from age 22 to probably 26 and 27, I paid myself something like $2,000 a month. So in the range, so the first year of business, I probably paid myself $20,000 for the first year. And then I paid myself $40,000 for the next 2 years. And then $70,000. And then the last year.
So that was $24,000 a year and then $40,000 a year. And then you said $70,000 roughly.
It was like 20, 40, 40, 70.
Yeah.
So that's 4 years in. And then the year we sold, I'd paid myself close to $300,000.
Right.
And I had a few other investments, like some angel investments and like some weird things that kind of paid off. But basically, like for the longest time, I mean, I was living, the way I rigged it was in San Francisco, my rent was only $400 because I rented out this big place. And I only had $25,000 in my name, and I spent all of it to rent out and furnish this place. And then I rented it out to people who basically subsidized it for me. So I was living like a poor person. And I was able to save a little bit of money.
You're living like a wealthy person, really. You were living in a place and it was only costing you $400 a month, which is a great example, by the way, because there's a lot of people that will be like, oh, I want to move to San Francisco, but I can't afford it. All you're saying to me is I lack creativity and resourcefulness because... what you did is available to everybody. Go find a place that's at market or slightly below market price. And what you did, I think, is you cut a deal with the landlord. You were like, I'll never call you for anything.
Yeah, I told
them. Toilet breaks, I'll fix it. You, I think you lived there for like a decade or some shit and you never called the
like
guy.
Like 7 years. Yeah,
never
7 years.
Never spoke to the person.
Yeah, I never saw him. Not once have I ever seen him.
If he showed up at the house, you wouldn't know who the heck it is.
I don't even remember what he looks like. I couldn't even tell you what he looks like. I think his name was Chris.
And so you cut this deal and you were like, look, you basically became the landlord.
Well, I showed up and I was 22 and it was a $4,000 or I forget how much was it, $4,500 a month for a 4-bedroom house. And he goes, is it just you? I go, look, it's just me right now, but I'm going to get like some friends to move in. I'll like sign a lease, a sublease with them, and I can have you approve it.
Right.
But basically, like, I'm going to pay you on time all the time. And the preferred relationship you and I have is I never see you again. And are you okay with that? And he goes, yeah. He goes, don't be late. And I go, okay, deal. And we are never late. I never, I'm an idiot. One time I shot a BB gun in the toilet and it broke the toilet. And so we just went to Home Depot and like bought a toilet and just replaced it. You know what I mean? So would do stuff like that all the time.
If somebody said, hey, which of your friends shot a BB gun into the toilet? I'd be like, oh, you know, Sam? Sam's great. He's a great guy.
we bought like an airsoft gun or something. We're like, let's see how strong this is. And we didn't want to shoot it in the house because it went through the couch. And so at this point, yeah, so it was a slow build. It took like 5, 6, 7 years. But then what's crazy is I'm 32 now. I started hustling at age 20, probably 20, like making like real money on my own, like livable money. And at this point, at age 32, I'll make more this year from a couple like side investments, like a real estate deal that I did. I'll make more this year than collectively all of my salaries combined while working at the hustle.
Exactly. And that's the exact same case for me. And I think that's actually really common. And I think the reason I bring that up is because A, it's interesting to me. B, I think that's really comforting to people. Because when you're in it and you're not making any money and it looks like other people are all making hella money, it can feel very bad. And you can question if you're on the right path or not. And this doesn't mean you're definitely on the right path, but it means when this path of entrepreneurship works, that's commonly what it looks like. So don't be surprised. All right. So let's get back to
when I was getting going, I was always so envious of other people, like my friends. I'm like, fuck, you got a job at Google? You make 150 grand a year and you have all these benefits. I haven't been to the doctor forever. This is awesome. I'm so jealous. So
yeah, you'd come to my office and you'd be like, dude, this is your office? And I'd be like, yeah. And then we'd be eating something. You'd be like, is this cheese just always available? Whose cheese is this? They just bring cheese?
I felt like I would bring
it. You'd be like, look, this cheese is from Whole Foods. This is expensive cheese. I'm like, bro, stop talking about the cheese right now. But it was like, I remember you were noticing all those things in a funny way.
Well, I was like, you guys have an espresso machine?
He's got a woman's bathroom?
What the hell is an espresso machine? Yeah, I remember I was like freaking out that you had an espresso machine. I was like, what the hell is this? And I remember like I used to take food to go. So anyway, it accumulated quickly. And I think it for most people, you're poor, and then it's like suddenly it's like, oh, holy crap, I'm not anymore. And, right. You know, you have that moment. And there's this subreddit called Fat Fire, and they talk a lot about that. And there's this guy who has a series of threads called Confessions of a Hecto Millionaire. And he's doing like 8 parts, and I link to it in there.
I see part 5 here. Yeah.
And the mods have basically approved it. So basically the mods have like this guy DM'd his account information or something. So they like verified that he's as wealthy as he is. But basically in the beginning thread, he says, I'm worth north of $100 million. I got wealthy originally because I was an employee at a tech company that made me $30 million. And that was like 15 years ago. And then I invested in this and then I did this and then I did this. And I'm going to answer a lot of the questions that I think a lot of people ask here. And the mods have approved that I am who I am. And I'm going to tell you all about work and purpose, my time and routine, why I keep a low profile, how relationships are complicated, what I spend on a monthly basis, what my investment in portfolio management is. And it's incredibly fascinating. I love this stuff where you get behind the scenes of people who you normally never have access to. And so it's a great series. It's a great thread. It's awesome.
Awesome. I love it. Great find. Okay, let's do some more. So what do I want to do? Okay, let me do...
You want me to do a quick one while you're thinking?
Yeah, do a quick one.
Okay, and I can keep right on, so you just let me know. So, all right, this is a little black hat here, but I'm going to tell you. So there's this company called, I think it's made by the same company. It's called Web Archive. It's the greatest thing ever. I love Web Archive. And they have got this side project called Archive Today. So archive.today. Have you ever seen this?
Yes, I have seen this.
It is awesome. So if you ever want to read, so there's a bunch of products out there on how to read articles that are paywalled or behind some type of like thing that you can't see them. So there's outline.com, which is kind of cool. There's this other one that's called 12 foot It's called 12 foot ladder. And so it basically says, show me the paywall. Yeah. So listen to the tagline, show me a 10 foot paywall. I'll show you a 12 foot ladder. Brilliant, right?
Genius.
Brilliant. And it doesn't work all the time.
It doesn't work very well. That's the problem with 12 foot.
Yes.
Neither does outline. Yeah.
Archive Today works. I've never used it and it not work. And so if you ever want to read something and you don't feel like
paying the paywall,
like you just want to read like a article and not all like pay for it, Archive Today is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. And the Internet Archive is just like a treasure, right? Like it's a nonprofit thing. It's a great way to go look up what did the original version of the Airbnb website look like? You can go to the Wayback Machine, which is something they've created, and you can type in Airbnb.com. You can go back and you can see, oh, wow, it used to be called Airbed and Breakfast. And it was like catered toward conferences because that's how they initially got their start and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, the Internet Archive, which is the nonprofit behind it, is amazing. They actually bought our friend's company. They bought Xavier's book company as well because they're going to like scan all the books and make them available for people and things like that. So they just
it's amazing. Really, you know, they're based in Inner Sunset, right where my office was.
That's right. Okay, let's do some more. Okay, so I basically made a pretty big, and I think at the risk of us sounding like kind of like overly obsessed with fitness, which is like ironic because at least you're ripped. So I think you could get away with being obsessed with fitness. I'm not ripped yet. So it's like a little bit weird when I talk too much about it. But you're I made a big investment in this because.
And your improvement has been massive.
I basically, when I was.
How much did you weigh when we first started filming? Do you know?
I have no idea, but I basically gained like 40 or 50 pounds over the course of like my last startup and like never lost it. So
do
like,
you think you weighed like 250?
Not 250. I think the most I ever weighed was 225. And I don't even weigh much less than that now. But
it's a different weight, though.
It's like muscle versus fat. It's like converting, right? So, yeah, I basically, you know, ballooned up. I used to be, 175 or whatever. And then all of a sudden I'm 225 and felt really bad. And, you know, it's not healthy. It doesn't look good. All this stuff. When I would see a photo of myself, I'd think that's a bad photo of myself. And after 3 years, I'm like, hey, how come all the photos are just bad photos of me? Oh, wait, maybe I'm like actually just like massively out of shape here. So I invested in basically three or four things now that have paid off. And I'll tell you one that I don't think paid off. So I think fitness takes a couple things, at least for me, and that's time. So I was like, okay, what are some things that if going to the gym is taking too much time, what's a way that I can hack that? So first of all, I built a home gym. So there's no going anywhere. But even me, you could put a Peloton right next to me. That doesn't mean I'm going to ride it. You could put my foot in the straps. It doesn't mean I'm going to push. Like there was many reasons for many years that I didn't exercise regularly. And so one was just bringing the gym home. Then I got a trainer because I said, well, if some dude shows up, I'm not just going to ignore him. Like I'm clearly going to like do the workout.
I think that's the biggest thing that made a difference. I have a friend who is who is a wealthy guy. And he was like, hey, can you tell me what to do? And I'm like, no, man, get a coach for like $250 a month and they'll tell you what to do and you don't think. You just do what they say. And he was like, that's really expensive. I'm like, dog, you live in a $4 million house. Like, why do you, like, your body's your house and you're not going to spend $300 or something to fix it?
Yeah, that's wild. My dad does that. My dad's like, oh, you spend on this personal trainer 5 days a week? Like, that's crazy. I have this trainer I found in India. He just does it on Zoom and he's only $4 an hour. I was like, $4 an hour? He's like, yeah, he wanted six, but I got him down to four. He was so proud. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Okay, God, is it good?
Such an Indian thing to
do.
He's
like, yeah, he's really good. He's really fit. No, I was like, no, is it good for you? He's like, oh, well, I don't really do it. Like, you know, he's like, it's only $4, so I don't even mind if I skip it. I was like, exactly. Like, you literally don't do it. It's not working for you. You're not exercising regularly. You're not getting in better shape. So how is it really that good? So anyways, I invested in a bunch of stuff and I took an approach, which was like, I wanted to leave myself no outs. So I took a like burn the boat strategy. So first I talked about it publicly because if I talk about it publicly, I'm going to be humiliated. If, you know, I'd feel embarrassed if I talk about this and I don't do it, I don't back it up.
Same. I think that I vouch for that.
I made it super convenient. So I did home gym and I had a trainer come to my house. I paid the extra to make sure that happened. Okay. So now I'm doing the workouts. Okay, cool. Now how do I do it where I actually enjoy it? Well, I invested in making the space nice. So like I went to your gym and I was like, wow, this feels great. I need to get a floor like this. And I bought these rubber tiles and I did all this stuff to make the gym feel better. And I like got like the sound system. And I did a bunch of things to make the environment one where I would not dread going there. I would want to go there and a bunch of things like that. So those were all great investments. I felt like were great finds for me. It was like these little rubber tiles and it took time and energy to research these. And I didn't outsource this. I was like, no, I need to find the best one because I want this to feel a certain way. And I crafted that kind of vision for myself. Same thing. I just got a sauna, set it up yesterday, did the first sauna session in it. And I'm like, this is amazing.
That's sick, right?
Already, this is one of my great purchases of the year. And I just have had it for one day. I got this clear light sauna, infrared sauna. And I know that some people are like, don't do infrared. And some people are like, buy this other brand instead, whatever.
No, clear light's good.
Clear light's a great brand. You know, but some people are like, you should do the dry sauna, not the infrared. From what I could tell, it's totally fine. And it's importantly, it fit into my life, whereas the other one would have required like a whole bunch of like waiting for like a bigger space and electrical and all these changes to be made in order to work.
As long as it can get hot enough, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. So those have been, for me, the best finds. Now, here's the worst things I did. Anything that I attached to my wrist has just failed. So I bought an Apple Watch, lost it.
Same. Right.
Got stolen / lost. I don't know what happened. It was at the office and it was gone. Second one, bought a Fitbit, lost it. Whoop band, have it. Battery's dead. Don't charge it regularly enough for it to be useful. So everything I've tried that's like a fitness tracker that is like a wearable device, it doesn't work for me because I'm too disorganized and lose shit and don't keep things charged and ready for the morning and then charge it for sleep. I had an Oura Ring. I lost that too. I have failed on like 5 wearables this year. So I got to like count myself out on that.
Do you wear a wedding ring?
Lost my wedding ring as well. So that's, same. You know, for bonus points.
Dude, that's why I wear these like $20 rubber ones.
Yeah. Mine was only a $60 wedding ring anyways. So I didn't feel bad. I mean, the sentimental loss. Yeah. But, you know, I kind of knew that, hey, I don't know if I'm a ring guy. I never wore a ring in my life.
Yeah.
And sure enough, just taking it on and off ended up.
I lost mine the first week. So.
Yeah, I lost mine on my honeymoon. So. The world's best husband. All right. Okay, let me give you a different one. Let's shift to media. Great podcasts, articles, YouTube channels, whatever that we really like. I have a whole category called canceled comedians, which is like, there's a whole bunch of people that I love their content. They're canceled by, you know, society, but I love, they're just as funny as they were before everybody found out that they like, you know, like to have sex with 18-year-old girls or whatever. Like, so there's this guy, Chris D'Elia, who got canceled, I don't know, a year ago. I found him really funny before. I find him really funny now. And he also has these little, like, almost like inspirational moments in between the comedy that I love. There's this video he has called Life Rips. Have you heard this video?
No, but I love him.
All he's saying is like, you know, this shit was happening in my day or whatever. And he's like, he has this phrase, life rips, which is like, he's saying like, life is awesome. And he's like, just remember, he's like, life rips. And then he tells this story. It's just, he's a great storyteller, amazing storyteller. He tells a story about life rips. It's a feel good moment. It's a reminder that actually, yeah, you're right. Instead of focusing on my problems all day, let me just focus on the fact that life actually really freaking rips. And then he brings that as a callback into a bunch of other podcasts that he does where he'll tell a little story. He's like, you know, this is a life rips moment. And just that philosophy has like made me really happy. He does this thing also where he'll be recording the episode and you'll relate to this. He's kind of like, I think a lot of great entrepreneurs and artists are this way, where they're like sort of like perfectionists in a way. Like they want things to go well. They want well-made stuff. And so let's say there's a technical problem where he's like, let's pull up that clip. And then like the computer crashes or like somebody walks by and unplugs his microphone like midway through or whatever, like kicks out the power cord to the lamp. And instead of in that moment getting mad, he just replaced it with this thing where he just goes, yes, the cord ripped out of the wall. He'll be like, yes, we can't find the file. Or he'll be like, yes, dude. Yes, we absolutely can't show the thing I'm talking about. Yes, nobody has any idea what I'm trying to say. And he just like, instead of being like, oh no, this sucks, which is like such a pattern that we can fall into, he just does this little yes thing. And I kind of stole it in my daily life. My wife hates it. She thinks it's like very annoying that I do this. Like she doesn't understand what I'm doing. She doesn't know the reference.
Now she will.
But she doesn't listen to the podcast either. So she still probably won't. But it's such a hack, dude. It's such a hack to just, instead of just letting this little inconvenience, this little thing that went wrong, F up your mood, just like rewire the response to something that's almost ironic. It's like sarcastic, but it actually becomes real by the time you do it. Jocko, who's this guy who goes on Joe Rogan, he does the same thing. He's just like this crazy, I don't know, Navy SEAL type dude, super hardcore. And his whole thing is around like, you know, pain is good. And so like, he'll be like, you know, oh, you got shin splints? Good. Like this run.
I love that. This run it gets me fired up.
He'll be like, you know, oh, you know, your Uber ride didn't show up? Good. Time to have a hike. It's like, you know, he replaces that sucks with time to get tough or good, you know, good. Got to go earn more money. Lost all mine. Like, you know, whatever. It's like almost comedic how extreme he is in it. But not going to lie, this shit actually works. And so that's my content recommendation.
Do you have, I've got a bunch, but do you have any type of cardio machine at your house?
Treadmill. Yeah.
And a rower. All right.
Yeah.
You do have a rower?
I have like a rower that makes you feel like you're on the Swiss canal or whatever. I have like a rinky dink, you know, $120 Costco rower.
All right. I don't think you're going to want to do this then, but I was going to say tomorrow. So
I'll
I've been
it.
Doing.
I'll do it on my shitty rower.
I've been doing these things where like I'm like, all right, everyone, this Sunday, 60 minute row, post your results.
Such a fitness influencer move, motivating
and
others.
So, do you have a bike? You don't have a bike? Do you have a bike?
I have a bicycle, not a spin bike. I have like an.
It might
bicycle.
Be easier if you're doing the bike. So I'm going to get up early tomorrow, like 7:30 or maybe 7, and I'll get this thing done. And you just post your results and be like, so I tweeted out, I go, tomorrow is a 90 minute day. We got to, and people are like, isn't that boring? And I'm like, yes, that is the point. We should go through pain tomorrow before we get thankful.
Right.
So if you want to do it with me, do a 90 minute, any type of 90 minute steady cardio.
90 minutes. Good.
I don't think
no one there to watch my kids.
Yeah, well, I don't think you could.
90 minute bike ride with Sam.
Well, that's why you got to get up really early to do it. You got to like go through some hardship. I don't think you're going to be able to run for 90 minutes, but even like a brisk walk, honestly, for 90 could work. But just like as long as your heart rate's like 140 ish. Yeah. All right, let me tell you five or four. I'm going to go fast on some bits of media. The first. This happened earlier this year. There's this amazing video of Rose Namajunas, this awesome UFC fighter. But the reason she's interesting is she's like really quiet and introspective and seems like a sweetheart, not like a fighter. And there's this amazing video of her about to fight this badass woman from China who just looks like the Terminator. And she's repeating to herself, I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. And when I first saw that, I teared up. It's the greatest. Yeah, it pumps me up. It's amazing. The second thing, primitive technology.
By the way, can I just give a recommendation there? For people who don't follow the UFC, they're going to watch this. They're going to be like, whatever. Even if they went and watched it, it wouldn't have the same emotional resonance. It resonated for you because you know how much of a Terminator that other girl is. You know Rose's backstory and how she struggles with anxiety. She's not a bravado type of person. So for her to say, I'm the best, it's not bravado and trash talk. It's literally self-talk so she can perform
believes
and be
it.
Her best and not let anxiety get the best of her. So you know the backstory, but I think everybody should have these go-tos, this stash of like inspiring moments that you were there for, that you know the context, you know the backstory, and then you could just put them. It's like that flooding thing I was talking about earlier. You could just go back to it and you can instantly get that feeling. And you should just have a well of these.
Which I like... I think that people should know that, I mean, like successful people, I don't know if people consider me successful or not, but I know that like way more successful people than I do this, but I rely on like I'll like read a book about someone who I admire and I'm like, how would this person react to this situation?
Totally.
Like I do that all the time. Or I'm like, sometimes I'll even do it with like UFC fighters. I'm like, this guy just got punched in the face and he got up. Like I can do it. Right. So I like that Rose Namajunas thing. The second thing is primitive technology. Have you heard of primitive technology?
No, what's that?
Click the link. It's in there. So This guy has 10 million subscribers on YouTube. In his videos, of which there are, how many are there? Maybe 50?
You've talked about this guy. He's like a caveman.
Yes. So there's maybe only 20 videos. And his very first video has 31 million views. It was 6 years ago. And it's him not talking, not saying a word. He's in the woods and he's building a hut. And eventually it works out to build like a proper house. And he does it without saying a word. And he does it with only using things that he finds in the woods. No power tools, no nothing. He builds a kiln. He builds a tiled roof hut.
Okay, so I'm on that video. It starts, he's just the camera is just panning at this spot on the ground in the middle of the forest. It's clear like there's nothing here. I'm going to build a little hut here.
Click to the end. Oh, click to God. The end. He's
Dude,
at
he
the
has
end.
Like a clay hut. What
with a fireplace in there.
With a fireplace and a chimney.
Yes. And the whole video, he doesn't say a single word.
It's
all you do
bare,
is...
He's literally his bare hands.
Yes. Just building it. And then he'll like make like a hammer out of like he'll make rope and then he'll make a hammer out of rope and a stick or a rock and a stick.
Do you know this guy's backstory? Like this guy looks just like everybody I went to Duke with. Like who is this guy and why does he do this?
It's in Australia, I believe. And he owns this land. And so if you go to his about page, it just says, where is this? And he goes, Queensland, Australia. Do you live in the wild? I don't live in the wild, but I love going out into the land to do these projects.
Queensland. Yeah.
And so he doesn't talk much. He doesn't do anything. His channel has gotten 1 billion views and all he's doing is building like
dude, while
like there's
talking,
another one.
I'm watching him make fire just with the, he's just rubbing his hands together like this with a stick in between, and he just made a fire while you were talking.
It's so relaxing. It's so awesome. I love it.
So do you, okay,
I
love be it. Honest, do you actually want, because I see this, I'm like, this is so cool, and I'll like click through one, and then I'll be like, oh, this is just something I'm gonna go tell other people about. I would never actually sit here and watch this for 30 minutes.
I've watched all of them. Because, do you have Apple TV?
No, I don't. But
I have Apple TV. So my version of TV is YouTube. So first thing when I sit down on the couch, I go straight to YouTube and I'll just watch like a 30. This is like that TV show How Stuff's Built. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but you do it in the background, or you actually just watch, pay attention to them.
Yeah, maybe I'll like be talking to Sarah or cooking. Yeah, I'm like, oh my God, wait, watch this. Look what he's doing. Yeah, maybe it's in the background. I mean, I don't actually sit down and really watch TV unless it's a movie.
Or the challenge.
Okay,
so this is amazing. Okay, primitive technology.
Let me keep going. I'm going to roll. Okay, the third one, how to be great, just be good repeatedly. This is an article by Steph Smith, who works for me. There's two reasons why I love this article. The first, that is one of the best headlines I've ever read.
Yes.
It is a wonderful headline. And she writes this article about how great things rarely are you like trying to be great. It's more so just like being kind of good, but doing it consistently. And in my life, I have found that with this podcast, with a bunch of other stuff, like I'm like, I don't want to do this today. It's like, all right, fine. I'm going to do it anyway. Even though I know today I'm not going to do a good job of it, I'm just going to get it done. And she does a really good job of articulating why that works. So I love that article. All right, I'm going to keep going. The next one, there's this guy who's got a YouTube channel called More Plates, More Dates.
Yeah, I watch this guy.
He is amazing. He looks at pro athletes and actors, and he's a doctor. I don't know what his background is. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And he tells you what steroids he thinks different people are on.
I watch these, and every time I do, I regret so much. I'm like, what a waste of my life I just did. But he comes up in my feed, and I'm like, oh, I know that person. Yeah, are they on steroids? And then like 30 minutes later, I'm like, I cannot believe I've let this be in my brain for the last 30 minutes. What a waste of my brain.
It's interesting, though, because he'll explain like the science behind it. He's like, a lot of people think that this athlete is doing EPO. You wouldn't do EPO because the way that your body works is this, 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 and this. And so it's kind of interesting. He goes, but you would do HGH because the way HGH works is it's proven to do. So it's like a science. It's interesting. Bro, all right. And
it's
then
gossip. But yeah, there's a little bit of science.
It's gossip from a person who I believe is reputable, not in having firsthand knowledge of the people, but firsthand knowledge and doping. And the final thing, I found this book. It has two reviews on Amazon. Only two reviews on Amazon. It's amazing. And so apparently in the foreword, they say that's one of the most popular books in Russia, but I didn't know that. And they translated it into English. So these two journalists from the USSR in 1933 made a deal with the US government that they would let them come in and spend 3 months doing a road trip. And so they saved up a little bit of money. They came here and they bought a camper van, and they spent 3 months traveling America, talking to people with nothing to do, really just all they just wanted to learn about of America. And from an outside perspective, they show what makes America special. And it's incredibly fascinating because we take a lot of things for granted. And they criticize America, and this is in the 1930s. So this point is particularly true. They criticize like our race relations and things like that. This is crazy how people treat each other. But there is a lot of good, including they say there's something about Americans that I've never seen ever before, which is they always think that they are going to overcome any adversity, and they always are optimistic about like some situation. And also, oddly, they're friends with their bosses. So like they work together to achieve things, and they don't like their friend. Like you could be friends with your boss and you cannot hate them or want to rob from them. Right. And people are and it's a wonderful book. It's written in the 30s. It's awesome. So that's my book. Oh, it's called Little Golden America.
Nice. That's great. You read the whole thing?
I'm finishing it up now. And I actually posted a link on my Twitter where it's free, like a PDF.
Okay, cool. I like that. Okay, I have a couple quick ones. So a Chrome extension that I'm liking a lot, it's called Everyday, and it's basically a habit tracker. So so if you go to the website, I think it's called Everyday. Let me just find it. Everyday.app, I think, is the thing.
Look it up.
And basically you just say what you want to do. So you're like, oh, I want to, like, for me, for example, I have morning routine, I have clean lunch, clean dinner, I have workout, I have my gratitude thing, and then that's it. And so, and then basically what it does is it just lets you create a streak. So you just say, yes, I did it this day. I intentionally skipped it. I'm allowed to skip it, or I missed. And then it just keeps track of your streaks, and it creates this awesome green grid of, like, as you do your habits, you get this really satisfying completion of, like, your grid being green. It just shows I'm doing the things I said I wanted to do, which for me is, and most people, is all of the challenge. All of the challenge is not, oh, I just don't know what to do. It's, I'm not doing the shit I know I should do. And so this is just, you know, a great tool. And I think it's great because it's a Chrome extension, so it's in your face. You don't have to remember to check it. It's every time you open a new tab in your browser, it's going to remind you, oh, yeah, could I knock that out right now? You know, yeah, I could actually just do that right now, and I could get it done. So it's I actually have my own Chrome extension, and I've replaced it with this one. That's how good it is. So, you know, this is one of my favorites.
I'm downloading it now.
Okay, let me give you a couple other things that I think are really cool. You showed me this, Camo. It's an app for your iPhone. Now, we spent a lot of money and time. You may not be able to tell right now because we're both not in our main studio. Or I'm not in my main studio. You're in a different spot.
I look good.
I know, you're traveling.
Good. No, I'm not traveling. Look, oh, no, look at sorry. Me.
You've been traveling. So, we, yeah. You know, on different videos, we have different level of quality or whatever. But we did we both tried on our own, and then we hired people to, like, hey, how do people get that fancy ass blur and, like, super HD video?
It was,
like,
so hard.
And they're like, oh, you got to buy this Canon, which one? 50D, 40D, 6D, 7D? Which D do I buy? Okay, I'll get this one. Oh, then I need, like, some kind of cord or, like, a capture card. How am I going to do that?
It's so much tripod, of a pain in the butt.
Super pain in the butt. Batteries. Oh, but the battery's going to die during the episode. So you have to actually get a double battery or a dummy battery. Pain in the ass. So, and it's thousands of dollars. The camera itself was like $1,500, something like that. So it's really expensive. And you were like, oh, dude, I'm just using this iPhone app called Camo. That just, you just download the app, and then it just uses the native iPhone, like, portrait mode to make your camera look good. And you were like, look, I'm just using my phone. I look just as good as you. And I was like, yeah, I'm using the $2,000 thing, and it's really hard to set up. You
know, dude, yeah, it's sick. It's phone. Only 30 bucks.
And look, I'm traveling, and I just bring this with me because it's my phone. And I was like, oh, my God. I think it's 40 or 50 bucks. I don't know. Is it 30? Maybe it's
30. I don't remember.
I actually think in the new iOS, it's just, this is just baked in, actually. I don't think you even need this anymore. But for now, and if I'm wrong about that iOS update.
You mean it's coming out soon?
Like, in the new iOS, it's going to be part of the native camera. So you don't need an app to do this, I think.
You mean, but one coming out soon or one out now?
I don't know. Now, soon, something. something like that. So, but in the meantime, this app Camo is kind of amazing. Great business by whoever's doing this, and amazing timing because the whole world went remote and everybody wants to look good. So that's definitely one of the best products.
The analogy we made, or someone made, is having Camo, it's like, in the 70s and 80s and 90s, when it mattered that you wore a suit, having a camo is like showing up in a meeting in a nice suit.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that's a great product. Okay, I'm going to give you a YouTube channel. So you did More Plates, More Dates. The binge I've been on is, this is like kind of embarrassing almost. It's these old school direct sales seminars. So I'm like, okay, how do I... I don't know why I like this, because I'm not even doing anything that has direct sales. Like, I'm not a product I sell that's direct sales. I'm not a salesman. Never been one. But I'm just, like, fascinated with the art of persuasion and sales.
Which ones?
And so so there's a couple that are really good. Last night, like, for example, I fell asleep last night while listening to it. If you just search Tony Robbins sales rare, and it's like, there's two. There's one where he explains how he got his career started. He doesn't talk about this much. He got his career started selling audio cassettes, like music tapes to people, you know, to people. And he would do these, like, you know, he'd go and he's like, yeah, like, the way we would do it is the woman would reach out to the potential customer and they would say, we'd love to give you a free gift. And we'd love to tell you a little bit about our company. And they'd be like, free gift? He's like, yeah, it's a free gift. It's usually worth about $100. And we'd love to give it to you. And, you know, if you'd meet with our person. And then Tony was that person. And he would be like, he would walk through the step-by-step thing. And he'd be like, I would say this. And why am I saying that? I'm saying that because blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing about how people buy. He's like, and he's got his whole philosophy. And he even says in this thing, he's like, you know, would I do this now? No, because I feel like it's a little too pushy. But I'm always the type where I want to know what's the real potent shit that works. I want to know the borderline illegal version of sailing and persuasion. And then it's up to me to decide, am I going to keep the knob on level 12 or do I want to turn it down to 9? But I don't want to be a level 6 because I was too afraid to ever find out what does maximum persuasion look like? You know,
what's the channel called?
I just look at the individual videos. There's not any channel. So like I'll look up Gary Halpert Rare or Gary Halpert 1980s or Gary Halpert Original Seminar, Tony Robbins Young, Tony Robbins Rare, Tony Robbins Original Seminar, Tony Robbins Direct Sales, Tony Robbins Infomercial. And I'll go, either I'll just find their material and I'll deconstruct it myself, like what's working. Like we had Craig Clemens on, and Craig Clemens comes on the podcast and he's a friend of ours, and he's a great person on the pod, but he doesn't go first. He doesn't talk a lot about his company. So he's got Golden Hippo. They've sold like over, you know, I think he sold over $1 billion worth of product in his lifetime. And Golden Hippo will do, you know, over $100 million in sales. But it's like, hey, what, Golden Hippo is a holding company. What are the companies underneath? And he doesn't really like go list out the 13 companies or whatever, however many there are underneath it. And nobody really pushes him for that. And he's kind of like at the made it stage now. But he got his start early on doing sales for a guy who's like a dating coach. And it was like,
I bought that
double
when I was
your
a kid.
Dating and like how to. Basically, it's all different titles that all mean how to get laid. And if it was a wife, it's like how to get the man of your dreams, how to get a husband, how to whatever. And so I find these old interviews or old seminars he did with that guy, Eben Pagan. And I'll go watch those and I'll see, oh, interesting. He's talking about this headline he wrote and why this headline is amazing and why he thinks it worked and this other one and why it totally didn't work and what he learned from that. And I just find these to be like, it's like puppy chow to me. It's just, I can't stop consuming it, even though I really have no direct use for it. I just love it.
So I'll tell you guys listening, Gary Halbert. So Gary Halbert's this guy, he died somewhat recently from just like a heart attack or something. And he was an amazing copywriter and he might've died in prison or soon after. He was in prison for a handful of years because he sold something.
Ironically, that's the guy I want to learn from.
Yes. And
the world famous guy who took it too far. Wolf of Wall Street. I'll go learn from him. I'm not going to take it as far, but I want to learn from that person.
I think he went to prison for mail fraud or something like that. So basically people bought stuff and he just didn't fulfill it. And so right. He was just like, I sold it and I just lied. And that's obviously wrong, but you can learn a lot from him. And he's got these amazing things called letters from Boron. They're Boron letters,
Yeah.
And they're all free. So if you Google Gary Halbert Boron letters, you can find them for free. It's a series of letters that he wrote his son Bond from prison. And he teaches him everything he knows about life and selling.
Yes.
And so like you can go and read it.
I rewrote them all by hand because I was just so, and you're going to read it and you're going to be like, why is this so good? It's so good if you know why it's so good. It's almost like that. It's like, it's not.
No, it's clearly good. Like you fall down like his slippery slope. You're like, exactly. Why is this so interesting? Well, why do I want to keep reading this?
Exactly. You don't know. It's not like it's not a, it's what I'll call a door, not a window. So a window opportunity is one where you look right in and you could see what's in it for you. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, for example, let's say you wanted to get better at copywriting. The thing is not called how to get better at copywriting. And then he doesn't say, here's 5 copywriting techniques. No, he actually writes these as letters to his son, and then he just shows you great copywriting, and then he sprinkles in lessons as he goes, but it doesn't come to like letter 5 or whatever. There's like, it takes you're just interested, you're hooked, and you don't know why, and that's the technique. And then you got to like figure out, why is this so damn good? What is it about this writing style that's so slippery that I just can't get? It's like a TikTok feed, I can't get out of it, you know. And so I would say it's like more like a door where you kind of got to go knock and take a leap of faith that there is something on the other side of this. You can't see exactly what you're going to get until the door opens.
Yeah, this is a winner. All right. Well, I think we just like laid out a ton of interesting stuff. Ben, are you there?
And by the way, we should put links to as much of these as we can in the show notes. I'm also going to send out a newsletter of just like summarizing these just on like whatever my own like my weekly newsletter, whatever, SeanPurry.com. And because I think these are actually really good, but most people listening to this, it's probably really fucking hard to be like, what am I supposed to do? Write these down and then go Google all these different things these guys are talking about?
Yeah,
like,
we'll
do it. You need the links.
What do you think, Ben?
Yeah, it's going to be great. At the bottom of the show notes, we'll just put a long list of all the links so people can find everything. But this was awesome.
We'll just spew in cool products that we consume.
By the way, I have half of you told me about this 2 minutes, or you told me before, but I was busy. I learned about this premise 2 minutes before the show, and I actually still have like five things that we didn't even get to. And I know you have like 10 things we didn't even get to. So we may want to, if people like this, we may want to do one more of these.
I like
it. And the point of this is it's supposed to be a Thanksgiving special, right? So you guys are just, if you're fat with turkey, you're sitting on your couch, you got some time on your hands. You can just start clicking through all these links, check out all this stuff, buy some stuff, watch some things, have a good time.
I think it's mostly free stuff, by the way, that we mentioned.
Yeah. A lot of it is free or very cheap. Ben, I love that that sales pitch about that. That was great. Who's have you been watching these videos too? Are we sharing YouTube accounts? What's going on?
Yeah, I just had to step up my game after you're talking about all this copywriting and sales stuff.
That's the Mormon in you. You guys are natural salespeople. You guys are the world's greatest salespeople.
Will Mormon jokes ever get old?
No, probably not. Some stereotypes we have so few stereotypes we're allowed to access these days that when there is one that feels like it's okay, you just got to hit it over and over again.
Good. I'm down. Well, thank you. All right. I'm out. I got to go be with my family.
See ya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.